saving money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. You never win with these people. You never do. They have an answer for everything. They are never wrong and they cannot take accountability for it. And they always know how to weasel their way out of some sort of explanation.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha. Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, my loves. Happy Wednesday. Your girl is up and early. I can't believe it, but believe that. Okay. Like, I am up and early filming this episode and I am 100% feeling myself. Okay. In the words of Kanye, nah, can't nobody tell me nothing, right? Excuse me. Is you saying something? You can't tell me nothing on this morning. How is everybody feeling today? As you guys can see, I'm God's favorite. Very much so. Very much yes. We are going to be talking about how to become hard to manipulate. This is a very relevant episode to me because, well, all of them usually are. But this is very relevant to me because I feel like too many people are negotiating with terrorists and I don't like that. Okay, negotiating with these emotional terrorists. And in your life, you really have to be a stickler for your boundaries, and it doesn't matter who it upsets. With that being said, I do remember when I first started my channel, I was swayed by people's opinions. I feel like there were certain points in times where I felt like I was trying to pull back on my messaging, how I delivered things, because people always were like, girl, I appreciate the message, but you didn't have to say it like that. Now I don't care. I really, really don't, because I feel like either you're gonna like me or you're not. And I'm okay with whatever you decide. It doesn't make a difference to me because whoever's gonna vibe with me is gonna vibe with me. And at the end of the day, I am very likable. I'm sorry, I am. Like, and I'm sorry if you just don't want to hear it from like a pretty girl. Cause like, is that what it is? I don't know, but that's just my opinion. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not. Anyway, welcome back to Quality Queen Control, guys. As you guys could see, I have high energy on this morning. It's crazy. I'm trying my best to become a morning person and also just, you know, really tighten things up in terms of my productivity and also my sleep hygiene routine. And sleep hygiene, I thought meant like shower before you go to bed, brush your teeth. No, I mean in terms of my like hygiene of more health, the health aspect of it. So yesterday I literally put myself to bed because I knew that I had an early call time with my producer and I didn't want to disappoint him. You know, I was like, I can't disappoint my brother. So yeah, I had to make sure that I put myself in bed. And at first, I'm not going to lie, it was going on. It was 12:54, which wasn't even super early now that I think about it. Actually, no, was it? My timer is wrong in my bedroom. It might have been 11:54. I don't know. All I knew is I needed to be in bed before midnight. So I don't know what time it actually was. And at first, it felt strange to me because I felt like I wasn't tired. I laid in the bed in the dark, in the pitch dark, and I felt like, oh, let me just get on my phone and do something real quick. So I got on my phone and I realized, okay, I'm scrolling in the name of trying to find some inspiration. And then I'm like, all right, Aisha, put the phone down because you have to go to sleep. Then I thought, ooh, let me read a book. But then I thought, wait, next thing I know, it's going to be midnight. And then I could be up reading. I don't want to do anything that's going to make me alert. So let me just, next thing I know, I was knocked out. I don't even know when it happened. I just remember waking up at 7 a.m. Like, I don't remember when I went to sleep. Like, it, and I had a very good sleep. The only thing that I will say is, it's always something, right? I guess I would prefer it to be this way, but I noticed that I woke up and I wasn't tired this time, which I love that, but I was so cozy and comfortable, I didn't want to get up. So what are your tips? What are your tricks of making sure that you get out of bed. I know, the Mel Robbins theory, you hop out of bed like a rocket, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you count backwards, right? There's it's neuroscience. I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to lay down. I just want to be comfortable. And then I like dozed off for like another second, woke back up in a panic. Like, oh, you need to get up. Your call time is so early. Needless to say, we got it done. Okay. We definitely got it done. Also, with that being said, my skin, I guess, is really sensitive. I'm noticing to certain water. And so my skin, like in between my hands, are like actually peeling. Like this is not, we're not talking ash. We're talking like I'm shedding like a snake. Okay. Like that's what it's giving. And I literally will take a tweezer. I don't care if it's TMI. And I will literally just like pull the dead skin off of my hands, like, because my hands are peeling so bad. I don't have eczema, by the way. I don't have any sort of like condition, like at all. But my producer just reminded me that he's like, remember this happened to you like last time? And I was like, wait, it's a water issue. I'm realizing that my water probably is too harsh and it needs to, it's like, it's making my hands peel because it's not the first time it happened. So, anywho, hi, I'm Aisha, Christina Foster. Nice to meet you. If this is your first time watching the show, thank you for joining. So today we're talking about something, like I said, that I think every emotionally intelligent, self-aware, and growth-oriented person struggles with at some point, and that is manipulation. Okay. And it's not because you are necessarily a weak person. It's not because you are naive, but it's because your brain is wired for connection, safety, and belonging, right? Because we are historically, I think even like psychologically, we're also pack animals. I'm not sure if those are the correct terms to use, but it's backed up by science pretty much. Like we don't usually, especially when you are in those, you're in middle school, you're in high school, those are those like strong inclusivity ages where the last thing you want to be is not like the other girls, right? So because people, manipulative people, they automatically understand that our brains are wired for, you know, connection, safety, and belonging. They might not think about it in that way specifically, but they have an awareness around that. And those types of people that are manipulative, they know how to hijack, okay, that need that we are wired for connection and things like that. So we're going to break down the neuroscience behind manipulation. We're going to talk about why smart and strong people still get caught in it. Because hello, this episode is not about narcissists, but narcissists actually only go after very highly intelligent people, believe it or not. They're not going after the loser, okay? They're going after people that are extremely intelligent. And also how your nervous system can get pulled into toxic dynamics, and most importantly, how to become psychologically hard to manipulate, yes, without becoming, you know, cold or defensive, or even closed off, right? Because the goal here is not necessarily to be building walls, but it's to develop and strengthen your discernment spiritually, emotionally, and also neurologically. So yes, we always have to bring faith into it too, because Jesus, okay? But because scripture actually talks a lot about having to guard your mind, right? And also guarding your heart. And so when you have a sound mind and you are walking in wisdom, believe it or not, neuroscience actually supports all of those things. So let's get into it. So here's the truth that most people don't understand. Why does manipulation actually work is the question. Well, manipulation doesn't work because you are unintelligent or you're stupid or what have you. It works because it actually tends to bypass your logical brain and it goes straight into your survival system. Think about that. So whenever you're feeling guilty or you're feeling rushed or you're feeling like you're afraid of losing someone, or you're confused after having certain conversations, or you're feeling emotionally overwhelmed. These emotions put you in survival mode, don't they? When you're rushed, all these different things. Yeah, when you're experiencing these high level of emotions is what makes you susceptible and vulnerable to manipulation. And an emphasis after being confused after certain conversations, it's easier to be gaslit, right? Especially when you want a desired outcome, right? You're anxious. You're feeling like you really want this specific thing to happen for you. You really want this relationship to work. You really want to be with this person or what have you. You're emotionally overwhelmed by all the things that you're feeling. You don't even know what's going on. So here's the thing. We've all heard of the term the amygdala. So your amygdala is the part of your brain that's responsible for fear and emotional reactions. And that's where it's in your amygdala that these, you know, fear and emotional reactions become activated. And so when your amygdala is running the show for you, your prefrontal cortex, ooh, it's so sciencey, I know. But your prefrontal cortex is the part that's responsible for logic, right? This is where we say, oh, by the time you're 25, your frontal lobe should be developed. This is what we're referencing. So this is the part that's responsible for logic, for reasoning, and also decision making. So this means that you're not stupid. You're just dysregulated. If you think about all the times that you've been susceptible to gaslighting and you've been susceptible to manipulation, think about what state of emotion that you're in that puts you in this position to begin with. Okay. So that's something to consider that will help to give you clarity on how you ended up in certain positions. If you all of a sudden realize you're in a toxic relationship, think about the moment that happened that all of a sudden turned things around for you, where that became the normal thing. When did things turn around for you where all of a sudden you turned around and you realized that, wait a second, I'm desperate for this guy. I really want to be with this guy. I'm always texting him first. I'm always the one that's trying to reconcile things. Every time we get into something, I'm always the one to reach out to communicate. He's always the one that's wanting to leave, yada, yada, yada. There's no sort of conflict resolution. So you're always the one that's putting a Band-Aid on things. You're always the one that's trying to reconcile. This is how you become easy to manipulate, okay? So manipulators, they thrive in dysregulation, obviously, right? Because we already know how you become susceptible to these things when you're experiencing certain emotions, right? And they're usually negative. So they create, people that are manipulative are all, oh, one of their favorite things, girl, is to create urgency, right? Oh, everything is so high strung because it will produce the results that they want. It's lighting a fire under you. Also, they love confusion. They thrive in that because they can feed you whatever narrative they possibly want. Or people that are creating these emotional highs and lows, and that cycle is meant to keep your nervous system hooked. It's like the dopamine plus the cortisol coming in. It's like a back and forth ping pong, ping, bing, bong, bing, bong, like whatever. That's what's happening in your system where you're like, oh my gosh, you become addicted to having the and striving for those good moments with that person. That's what ends up happening to you. And as we all know, God is not the author of confusion, my friend. Okay. And some people, like I said, they are so used to manufacturing their luck with everything that they're not surrendering to God. They're not letting God be God. No, they are getting involved in situations and driving the entire ship. And then they're wondering why. And they're thinking that, oh, this is meant to be, this is God. No, it's not. It's you forcing situations. You're forcing it. It's not natural, okay? And you're just throwing God on top of it. And think about even when I talked about emotional overwhelm. You ever feel like somebody is like a lot and you're just like, oh, you don't even know what to think or anything because you just feel like this person is just so emotionally high strung and heavy that you don't know how to respond in these types of situations. Like, what do you do? What do you do when somebody is always making you feel just like so on edge all the time? Okay. So if you've ever said yes, think about this. If you've ever said yes when you meant to say no, all right? If you've ever ignored red flags, if you've ever left a conversation feeling mentally drained or mentally scrambled, I want to say, actually, then yeah, your nervous system is probably being hijacked. Okay. So what is the neuroscience of manipulation? Well, I'm going to break this down into, I want to say three major ways that manipulation tends to impact your brain. And again, it's the amygdala hijack, right? So this is going to happen when someone is going to trigger a survival mode response, which is fear, guilt, shame, and the list goes on, right? So examples could look like, oh, you're overreacting. If you really loved me, you would, right? Or, well, everyone else thinks you're wrong. Everyone agrees with me. So your brain can perceive this as danger, right? So instead of standing firm on whatever it is that you are supposed to be standing 10 toes down on, you try to restore emotional safety by allowing yourself to become manipulated by that person. That's what ends up happening. And again, it is not because you're weak, but it is because your brain wants connection. That's just the truth. And so another way, this is number two, that, you know, that manipulation hijacks your brain is also through dopamine loops and emotional addiction. This is kind of what I was referencing when I was talking about that cortisol and that dopamine ping pong. So hot and cold behavior creates dopamine spikes. It's sick, isn't it? But yes, it creates dopamine spikes. And there's nothing worse than losing a girlfriend to like these types of situations. Like, of course, there's a lot of things that are worse in the world, but you guys understand what I'm saying. You're picking up what I'm laying down. Like when you see it happening and you can see your good girlfriend like making excuses for the guy that she's with, of coming up with a million reasons of, oh, he just needs me to fight for him. He just needs me to like, and I'm like, okay, sure. Like, all right. Yeah, he just needs you to fight for him. Okay. Well, you will be fighting for him and you will also be fighting with him. Okay. And he will also be fighting you. That's what's going to happen. And that's how that's going to go. So the love bombing then can merge into withdrawal. And then it turns into reconciliation. That's a very toxic loopity loop, scoopity scoop, where you want that affection from that man. You're trying to understand, what did I do wrong? Like, how can I be better? It's almost a natural instinct of, how can I be better for this person? Oh my gosh, like, I don't understand. Everything was so fine between us. Then I don't understand what happened. We internalize it, not realizing that this is just this person's behavior. They are like this with everyone because it depends on what state of mind that they're in. And if they are a manipulative person, then they are always in that state of mind, really, to be honest with you, because there's no excuse for that in any capacity. But dealing with manipulative people is just so mentally exhausting because you never win with these people. You never do. They have an answer for everything. They are never wrong and they cannot take accountability for it. And they always know how to weasel their way out of some sort of explanation. I digress. So your brain will then become addicted to the relief. Think about what it is that I'm saying. So like I said, you have the love bombing and then you have the withdrawal and then you have the reconciliation. So your brain gets addicted to the relief that comes from, okay, I got him back after the reconciliation phase, right? So you're like, oh, okay, you feel better. You then tend to remedy the situation in the same cycle over and over again. So you're, you know, not, it's not necessarily the person, but it's the relief of, oh my gosh, when will they finally act kind to me again? When are things going to restore to normal again? So inevitably, you're going to stay a lot longer than you should because your nervous system is trying to chase stability. All right. In this specific context, you're trying to get things back and regulate them so that they can be normal. And that's not really up to you. If somebody's going to be bringing these emotions out of you, trust me, like you're fighting a losing battle. Okay. The third thing is cognitive overload and confusion. Ooh, this is a great one because some people They intentionally overwhelm conversations. I remember I was mediating a conversation between two girlfriends, and I was so taken aback and disgusted and disappointed at how one party was speaking to the other. And I instantly knew in my adult brain that the person that was being the aggressive person had something to hide. Liars have to lie first and fast, right? They have to get ahead of a narrative, okay? So I knew that she had something to hide. She was over-talking the other girl. She was being aggressive, interjecting, cutting her off, everything you can think of in the name of, oh, I was just upset and I have a lot of questions. And she was just so masculine in how she was stewarding the conversation. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being upset. That's not what I'm saying. Of course, you're going to be upset and you're not going to be like, oh, I'm so angry. That's not lost on me. But you, out of respect for what once was, to me, the conversation should have been better. The point that I'm trying to get at is, and I know it was correct, she invited somebody over that shouldn't have been there and knowing she was going to have this conversation. And what she decided to do instead was she wanted to pretend to the other person that she was being a good person by attempting to hear out what the other friend had to say. But she knew that she wasn't going to give her the ability to speak because she didn't want my other friend saying something that she didn't want that other person to hear. And I know that for a fact because she pretty much admitted it to me and was like, well, I didn't want so-and-so hearing more lies that this person was going to say. And that's when it was confirmation in my head of, so that's why you did that. That makes sense because that's exactly what I thought, why you wouldn't even hear out anything this person had to say. And that was the whole entire purpose of the conversation, was to hear what this person had to say. And you all of a sudden decided you didn't want to hear anything from this person after talking everyone's ear off and making it such a big deal that you were concerned and why this person stopped speaking to you. And now you have no room to hear what this person had to say. Somebody that you thought you were so close to. I'm sorry, not my type of person. Like, you have to go. I'm not saying be friends. That was not the purpose of the conversation, but it scrimped. I'm trying to control the situation and I don't want to hear what you have to say because it's going to change someone else's impression of me as well. Meanwhile, you shouldn't have invited that person into the conversation then, because the purpose of the conversation was supposed to be between, you know, specific individuals. Okay. I digress. So I was giving that example because that person was so intentionally overwhelming in the conversation because she was trying to steward the conversation in a certain direction because she didn't want certain things to come out about her. And I understand that. Whether she believes those things are true or not, it doesn't really matter because they are. But she was focusing on a certain topic or whatever. Who cares? These types of people overall in general, they will change the topic when it comes to intentionally overwhelming conversations. They will like nitpick at a point and you're like, wait, why are they nitpicking at a certain point? And that's not my point. I'm not understanding why this is what you're concluding from this conversation. They also tend to rewrite history. All right. History revisionist. They are not. I realize, actually, shout out to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because clearly, I've realized that, yes, my ministry is people and relationships, but I am still capable at looking at myself objectively, which I realize is not an easy thing to do. I can't objectify myself in the sense where I could just call out all the amazing things I've done, but I mean, I can look objectively at where I went wrong in certain situations and say, all right, you know what? I own that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have did that. That's on me. It's uncomfortable, but I own it. You know, I shouldn't have responded in that way. I shouldn't have done that. And I will accept it and move forward. But not that many people can do that. Just like how some people will be miserable and they can't contain their misery. Not everybody can do that. So with that being said, yeah, there are a lot of people that are history revisionists because it serves them so much. They can't stand the mask cracking and realizing, oh gosh, I am in fact not who I think I am. Well, you're not. So you might want to fix that. They'll also use something called word salad. It just doesn't even make sense, the confusion that you feel from this conversation. It doesn't even add up. Why do you have to do all of that? Okay. And then they're also they also tend to be the type of people that are shifting the blame constantly. Well, if you didn't do this, then da-da-da. Like, everything always just has to make sense to them instead of just shutting up and being honest and saying, you know what? These things that I did were not right, and I own them. And to be honest with you, I mean, this, we're in a perfect world. Again, high emotional intelligence here is being vulnerable and understanding, you know what? I was having a really bad week and I was very dramatic about this and I shouldn't have been. And I also understand that the things that I'm about to say are probably going to make you not want to be my friend anymore, but I at least I'm getting it off my chest and I'm sorry. And just having a heart-to-heart moment like that, that's how I approach situations. I am very aware that a lot of people are not like that. So you're never going to have these really, you know, candid and transparent moments where people are just being honest and vulnerable and saying, like, this is where my head was at when I felt this emotion and why I responded the way that I did. You know why? Because it forces you to take accountability, which means that you have to then change. You'd rather stay stuck in your pride and your ego and be right. Do you want peace or do you want victory? All right, so here's the powerful thing. Confusion is actually not always miscommunication. Hear me out. Sometimes it's actually a strategy to attack your nervous system. If I can cause confusion here, then this can, they won't ever realize the truth, and I can sway things in my favor. You have to think, what is the motive? Why do people lie? Because they're trying to hide something. Why do people stir up confusion? Because they're trying to hide something, okay? Like, you can never get to the bottom of things when confusion is so prevalent in the dynamic and in the atmosphere, okay? So your brain tends to shut down when it's overloaded. You're gonna shut down. And when you're mentally exhausted, you're easier to influence, obviously. That's how that works. That's how you become primed for manipulation. And so what are the signs that your brain is actually being manipulated? Well, you have to ask yourself this question. Do I feel rushed when I'm making decisions? Also, not for nothing, from a friendship perspective, do you feel anxiety when that person's calling you? Like, it's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even want to talk to her. Like, I'm actually scared of the emotional heaviness behind anything that comes out of this woman's mouth. Or you ever go out with someone and everything is a big production? Like, it just really makes you extra grateful for your friends that you don't need to have a social battery for. Like, I have been involved with certain individuals and they just like make me feel so uneasy. Like, everything is such a project and a production for them, and it's so, and they always have to like take over and take charge of everything, which is crazy because I would say I have a pretty strong personality, but I'm very balanced. I know when to speak and when not to speak. I don't feel like every room I go into I need to be the biggest, the loudest, I don't need to be seen everywhere that I go. I really don't. I'm very comfortable with myself, very confident and what I have going on for myself. I don't need to always make myself seen, known, all these different things. I don't understand it. So when I see people that tend to be this way and behave this way, very self-aggrandizing behavior, it's very concerning. The second I feel relieved that call stopped ringing on my phone, I already know that it's a ticking time bomb for you, babe. Like, you have to go, because this is like, it's not going to work long term. Anytime someone's making you feel anxiety like that in a friendship or in a romantic dynamic, you're feeling like you always have to over-explain yourself. It's very, very strange. There was this girl I knew one time, and it was, I don't even know why I'm bringing this example up, because this might not even be the best, because she was a strange person herself. But I remember she got flowers to her house one day, and she's a manipulative person actually herself. Like, the relationship that she was in, they both manipulated each other, which was an interesting dynamic. I remember her getting flowers to her house, and she was supposed to see some guy later. And she was like, she was lying to him about where she got the flowers from. And it wasn't even from someone suspicious. It was from like one of her like older friends who's like a mom to her. And I was like, why are you lying about where you got flowers from? Like, where does this anxiety come from, this trauma response that you're all of a sudden feeling like you're unsafe to tell this guy where you got flowers from, and it's not even from anything sketchy? What did you say? What did you do that you feel uncomfortable telling the truth? Like, I don't know. Like, if you're feeling like you have to over-explain yourself all the time, that tells you everything you need to know, right? if you're feeling like every time you are out with your friends, your man, you have to text your man all these different things 24/7 because you don't want to make him feel like you've just abandoned him to go hang out with your girls. And there's that weird sense of anxiety that you're feeling because you're just concerned about how he's feeling. You can't even enjoy yourself in a moment where you're, God forbid, you don't think about this man while you're hanging out with your girlfriends. You guys are just having a little night in at one of the girls' houses, and he's like blowing up your phone, and you're feeling like you're like the entire time you spent with them has been hijacked by you being preoccupied with cueing him down. Okay. Do you feel guilty for normal needs? Normal things. Are you feeling guilty for them? You know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. Do you leave conversations feeling confused? That actually, I will never forget the first time this happened to me. I was like, okay, I used to want to be a lawyer, and I am great at remembering what I need to say when I'm talking to somebody. But mind you, I don't like arguing and debating. I really don't. Like, I'm going to say my little 1-2. I might not, but I don't want to go back and forth with you. I really don't. Okay. And I remember the first time I encountered someone that every time I would speak to them, I felt so confused that I was recording conversations so I can listen to it back because I just felt like I lost my mind every time I spoke with them. I couldn't understand it. I was always leaving conversations feeling confused. And then I would think that I would address them, but he would like wiggle his way out. Like, I don't. No, it was very bizarre. Do you feel the need to overexplain yourself constantly? Do you feel relief once that person is nice to you again? Uh-oh. I have watched certain women make certain decisions with men that have wrecked their lives, picked up addictions, lost friend groups, isolated themselves, all the things by their choices in men. Let me tell you this. You can never be a girl's girl if you are going to be a male-centered woman. If the affection of a man always matters more to you than having grounded relationships with girls that are going to be here before him and after him and during him. Okay. You will never, ever be a girl's girl if that's going to be your mentality. So if your friendships are being affected by your relationship choices, that's a cause for concern. If you trust your said friends, you should know that they want the best for you, right? Okay. Are you someone that's doubting your own memory or your own intuition? Oh, I just think that, you know, I don't think that's actually the way that it happened. Oh, you know what? I think I was just overthinking it. It really is exhausting when you see someone talk themselves out of something that actually is true. It's ridiculous. I had a friend once that literally she saw her boyfriend at a certain concert and got sent a photo picture of him. And she was like, no, that's not him. I think that's like actually one of his friends. And I'm like, okay, like I'm actually like nervous because that's blatantly that man. Like, what are you not seeing? What are you choosing to be blind? In the words of SZA, I can't see, I'm blind. Yeah, you are. And that's scary. If you can talk yourself out of things, baby. Oh my gosh. Well, you don't need that man to do it for you because you've already done it to yourself. You're manipulating yourself. He doesn't need to manipulate you. That's what some of you do too. Self-manipulation. But that's a story for another day. Okay. Does my body feel tense even when I'm telling myself that everything is fine? Do you know how they say it's all in the eyes, Chico? Well, it's all in the body, Chica. Okay. It's all in the body. It's true. Your body is oftentimes more aware before your mind actually catches up. Mm-hmm. So discernment actually starts in your nervous system. It's not just in your thoughts, okay? All right, so how do we become hard to manipulate? Oh, the part that we've all been waiting for. All right, notice I didn't say, how do you become cold? How do you just like, you know, have RBF? We are becoming regulated and also discerning, okay? We're not trying to preach anything toxic over here, but you want to slow down with your decisions, right? So say I don't make decisions in emotional moments, right? I would rather talk about this in person. I don't feel comfortable talking about this via text. And I remember, like, I'm the wrong person. If you want to text me a long paragraph, don't bother. Because not only will I not read it, but I also won't answer it. Because to me, certain conversations should not be done within the context of a text message. Bring back the old school days where we are having... Because to me, babe, anything I have to say to you, I'm saying to your face. And I would hope that you actually feel the same to say it to my face. Just saying, I don't know. Like, I can stand 10 toes down on how I feel if given the floor to do so. But some people want to just... ChatGPT things all day, and they want to have a conversation with you to win, like, get a response out of you, provoke a response out of you, win some sort of invisible war with you via text message. You won't hear from me. Good luck, though. Good luck, but you won't be hearing from me. So this is going to allow your logical brain to come back, right? And to help you make decisions. So you always want to regulate before you are responding. You never want to respond at the heat of the moment, because the first thing that comes to mind when you're experiencing negative emotions is never going to be the best thing, right? So you want to pause, you want to breathe, you want to just take space. Be present, okay, and what just happened. You don't need to resolve conflict when you are feeling dysregulated. This is what some people don't understand. Talking about that emotional overwhelm, this is, in these moments, this is what I'm showing you. Do not allow people to override you and cause you to draw conclusions and make decisions based on your current state when you don't want to do so, okay? A regulated nervous system is incredibly difficult to manipulate. So you also should name what is happening to you, right? So when you label what a tactic is, you can say, like, I feel rushed right now, all right? This sounds like guilt. You activating your logical processing is going to reduce the emotional hijacking, because you can't keep on going in circles in your head trying to come up with what it is that you're experiencing. And then you also want to watch patterns, not intensity. Watch the patterns, because it's always going to be intense, okay? Dopamine thrives on highs and lows. Please remember that, the dopamine and the cortisol connection, all right? Consistency is the truth. Intensity is the distraction. I'll say it again. Consistency is the truth. Intensity is the distraction. Okay. And then you want to practice micro boundaries. Well, small no's. You know, I remember the first time I tested a no in a friendship where I was supposed to go to hang out at someone's house. And then I was like, you know what? I just have so much work to do, which was the actual truth. I realized it didn't make sense for me to go hang out at this person's house when I had work to do, okay? Yeah. And they were completely fine with it, actually. They were like, oh my gosh, I understand, business first. You know, things ended up changing, but it's fine. In the moment, I was grateful that she was like, oh no, business first, I totally understand. And I do believe that she did mean it at that time, you know? Also, small pauses. You don't have to be responding. Again, you don't have to showcase the same level of intensity just because someone is showcasing that to you, okay? And then also small clarifications, you know, there's nothing quite like a, well, what did you mean by that? What did you mean when you said, and forcing someone to explain whatever ridiculousness that they're trying to project onto you. All right. So your brain, it learns safety through repetition. Your brain learns through repetition, period. Right. So boundaries, it's just about neurological training, rewiring your brain, right? Rewiring the things that you used to do and replacing them with your boundaries now, okay? So that's what it's really about. And then, of course, in scripture, it says that God has given us a sound mind, okay? Not a spirit of fear. So a sound mind means clarity, groundedness, discernment. Jesus, he walked away from crowds. He was flipping tables. He didn't explain himself to everyone. He didn't allow the urgency of whatever crisis was going on dictate his decisions. Think about that. And Proverbs actually speaks constantly about wisdom and also discernment. So guarding your heart is not, it's not paranoia. It is stewardship of your temple. All right. Spiritually and also neurologically. So discernment is not about, you know, judgmentalness. That's what people tend to think that it is. It is not. It is simply alignment with the truth. Okay, so make sure that you guys are asking yourself, do I feel rushed? Do I feel confused? Am I overriding my own body's signals? What, you know, where do I abandon my own clarity to maintain this connection? Do my desires outweigh reality of what's actually going on here? Hello? Okay. Because like I said, the goal is not that we become unloving. It's that we become regulated. We become self-trusting, emotionally stable, and also spiritually grounded, right? The Holy Spirit's going to help you discern the, you know, when to leave situations and things like that. So remember this, when your nervous system is stable, manipulation is going to lose its power. So you're not difficult to manipulate because you're a cold person. You become hard to manipulate because you are clear. Okay. Thank you guys for being here, spending time with me. With that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next episode. Mwah.